Good evening, Christ Church, Yaden. Blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon title this evening is Not Just a Job. Not Just a Job. And last week I preached a sermon, a Reformation sermon. We were talking about speaking boldly for the Lord. And now we're praying that the Lord enables me to speak boldly again. This week we want to talk about a renewed emphasis on vocation. During the medieval times, the thought was the only people who were called were religious people like clergy, like nuns, monks, priests, and Reformation, the idea that all of God's people have a calling. And all of God's people are called to be prophets, priests, and kings. And that's because all of those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are little Christs. And so each of us have a calling to speak the word. Each of us have a calling to be a priest. And each of us have a calling to rule, to be used by God in restraining all our and all of Christ's enemies. Because Christ has done that. He is our prophet. He is our priest and he is our king. And this was revolutionary for the time because it was thought that, well, just priests and nuns and monks have a calling. But Luther and the reformers, they said, no, every believer has a calling. And that the purpose of every vocation, every calling, is to love our neighbor as ourself. So have you ever thought of that? Any of you go to work each day? Some of you work in various different occupations. Some of you, I guess, are students. That's your day-to-day work. Have you ever thought that when you go to work, it's because you are learning to love your neighbor as yourself? And the things that you learn are going to be a benefit to your neighbors. That's the hope. And if you learn well, then you will be a benefit to your neighbors. Well, in our passage, Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat or encourage you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. And so what we want to talk about tonight is that we must walk worthy of our calling. Now, a calling implies that someone's calling. Implies a caller. And God is the one who calls. God's calling each one of us. Are you listening? Are you listening to the call of God? Now, God calls us, first of all, to know Him. To know Him as Lord and Savior. And the only way that we're able to call on Him and be called by Him is if we're born again. You must be born again. Amen?
Amen?
And when we are called in that way and we're called to new birth, what we call the effectual call of God. The effectual call of God. I'm going to ask Mark if he could hand me a hymnal. Because in the hymnal, we have the shorter catechism. Shorter catechism number 31 talks about effectual calling. What is the effectual calling? This is on page 668 in your hymnal. Effectual calling is the work of God's Holy Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He persuades and enables us to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. If you have embraced Jesus by faith, faith is the way that we lay hold of Jesus. If you've embraced Him by faith, it's because God has effectually called you. Not because I'm so wonderful or I've got all this wisdom. No, it's because God opened my eyes and changed my heart so that I could believe the gospel and embrace Jesus and say, yes, I need Jesus to save me from my sin so I don't go to hell and so I do have eternal life now because of a relationship with Him. That is effectual calling. And that's what gives us that new birth. That's what causes us to be born again. So that's part of our call. We have been effectually called to new life. Anybody understand that at one time you were dead? You were spiritually dead. I mean, dead as a doornail in your trespasses and sins. Yes. But if you have life, if you have faith in Jesus, if you trust in Him, then God has done something to cause you to be born again. He has taken dry bones and He has brought them to life. That is the effectual calling of God. But that's not all. God also, He calls us effectually, but He also calls us gloriously. Gloriously. When we're called and regenerated, we're also united with Jesus Christ. I just have to say hallelujah. We are united with Jesus Christ because all that Jesus is and has is ours. So Jesus died on the cross. When He died on the cross, we died with Him. And our sinful nature died with Him. Now we still have sin in our members, which we need to put to death by the Spirit. It says in Romans 8:13. But the old man is dead. That's what the Bible says. I have been, that's aorist tense, past, done deal. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the old Greg Pilato is dead and buried with Jesus, but a new Greg has been raised to new life, to walk in newness of life. But I need to believe it. I need to believe the gospel. Believe in the new life that I have in Jesus Christ. We all need to believe in the gospel, in the new life, and the working of the Holy Spirit. And as we understand that, and as we put to death those misdeeds of the body, we will live. And you can read about that in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Tough, but very rewarding scriptures to understand the relationship of the believer to grace, chapter 6, to the law, chapter 7, and to the Spirit, chapter 8. And if you understand Romans 6, 7, and 8 that way, that will open it up to you. But it's not easy. You got to be diligent to study the word. But if you put in the time to understand it, I promise you, it will yield great dividends. Amen? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Amen? So there's this glorious call that comes to us in our union with Christ. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3 talks about the wonders of this gospel, the wonder of the love of God that calls us to be God's children. 1 John 1:3, behold how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, or lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. We are called to be children, to be sons and daughters of God. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. When He comes back, we will see Him and we will be like Him. What does it mean that we will be like Him? Well, Jesus died and was buried. And then on the third day, He rose again to new life. And now He has a resurrection body. He has a body, a physical body like ours, but different. Because it's now an incorruptible body. It's now a body that can't die. It's now a body that can't get sick. It's a body that can go through locked doors. That's what happened in John chapter 20. It's a body that still can eat, because He ate in John chapter 21. And of this body, Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, reminder of our identity. I just was talking about the fact that if you're a believer, you are a son or a daughter of God, which is awesome, that we in Christ are God's adopted children, even though we were estranged, even though we were rebels, even though we had run away, God has called us back to be His adopted children. And then also, we are citizens of heaven. Any of you American citizens? Some of you, all of you, or some of you may have citizenship in another country. Any African citizens here? Or just all Americans?
African citizens.
Okay. Some of us, and this is great because God has called His people from every tribe, nation, and tongue under heaven. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your main citizenship is in heaven. Amen? And so it says in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state. In other words, He will transform this body into conformity with the body of His glory. So the way Jesus' body is, ours is going to be conformed to that body. It will be a body that cannot die, that cannot get sick, that will not sin. Won't it be awesome to not have to fight against your own body in the area of sin and temptation? That'll be a relief. Amen? Amen. Right here, amen?
Amen.
With our body will be conformed to the body of His glory. He has a glorious body. Anybody remember the account of Jesus in His transfiguration? When He was up on the mountain, He was praying, and all of a sudden His garments became bright like the sun, and He was shown forth in His glory. We're going to have glory like that. We're going to shine like the stars. Philippians chapter 2 says that is when we are those who do all things without grumbling and disputing. Philippians 2:14. We will prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as luminaries or stars in the world. So, some of us, when we were younger, wanted to grow up and be a star, right? Grow up and be someone famous, right? Grow up to be a movie star or a sports star. Well, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not a grumbler or a complainer, you already are a star and a luminary. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Word says. Now we need to believe it and live it. Amen. We have a glorious calling in Christ, and it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but it will be awesome in the true sense of the word, because we will be like Jesus, who is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
We have an effectual call, we have a glorious call, and we have a productive call. In Ephesians 4, it says that there's one body, one spirit, just as you are all called in one hope of your calling. And then verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And so I ask you, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is your gift? What gift has the Father given you in grace? Or to put the question another way, who are you in Christ? What has God called you to be and do in Christ and in the world? God gives each and every believer gifts, abilities, skills, desires. And as you weigh those and as you pray to God, He starts to make clear to you your calling in life, your mission in life. What is your mission? And that's a prayer, especially young people. Ask the Lord, look, God, what is my mission? What is my calling? What are you calling me to be? Because it begins with being who you are, your identity in Christ, as a child of God, as a Christian, as a one who follows Jesus, as one who's called to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and as one who's called to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're called to be productive. In Ephesians 4:28, it says, "Let him who steals steal no longer." You know what? Everyone coming into the world in Adam is a thief. Right? A thief. Now we take what we don't, what doesn't belong to us. We take glory for ourselves and we glorify ourselves. I did it. I'm wonderful. You know, I'm not like those unrighteous people over there. And when you're proud like that, then that's sin too. And that's taking glory from God and trying to steal and have that glory for yourself. No, glory is not to be stolen, it's to be given. And God gives glory to his children when they submit to him. It says, "Let him who steals steal no longer." Why don't we need to steal, those of us who are in Christ? Well, going back to Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If you have all the spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, why would you ever need to steal anything? If you have everything you need for life and godliness, why on earth would you need to take anything that does not belong to you? So let him who steals steal no longer. If you're in Christ, you have everything you need. There's no reason to steal. And not only that, it says, but rather, or in the exact opposite of stealing, let him labor. Let him work hard. Let him labor, performing what is good with his own hands. Any of you ever work hard? Any of you ever really work hard? And then you get something done, and then you can say, "Thank God I was able to do that. And it was a blessing. And people were blessed, and people were made happy because of that work, and God was happy too." And there's a sense of accomplishment in that work that's done. Why does that feel so good? Because that's what we're created for. We're created to work. God is a worker. God created everything out of nothing in 6 days. And God continues to uphold everything in the universe in his works of providence. And God redeems people. He redeems the lost. He saves them. And he applies the gospel. And so the work of redemption is an ongoing thing. God is a worker, and we are created in God's image and likeness, and we're called to be workers also. We're called to be productive. We're to work with our hands, performing what is good, in order that we have something for ourselves and something to share with those who have need. You ever come across needy people?
Yes.
All the time, right? But if we work hard, then we have something we can share with them. So we can be a blessing to them. And maybe they will become a blessing too. And then they will work with their hands, and then they'll be a blessing to someone else. But sometimes we have to help them along until they get to that point. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so that's what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so Luther was very strong about preaching that we're not saved by our works. God doesn't need our works. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." If you have trusted in Christ, that's a gift God's given you to believe and to receive Jesus. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works. So if you've trusted in Christ, don't boast. Don't say, "I'm so wonderful. I'm so wise that I figured out salvation and I trusted Jesus." No, it's a gift of God. God opened your eyes and enabled you to believe. And so works don't save you, but it says in verse 10, we are His workmanship. We're God's workmanship. We're God's, actually, work of art. You ever think about that? That you are God's work of art. If you're in Christ, you are God's work of art. You're God's poema. The Greek word is poema, from which we get the word poem. Anybody like poetry? Yeah. Poetry, poems are a work of literary art. And we are God's works of art. We are God's pieces of work. You're a real piece of work. Amen? God's workmanship. And my Pastor Cameron used to say before he went to glory, we're God's workmanship and God don't make no junk. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God makes good things. And when God made Adam and Eve, He said, "It is very good." Now, sin came in and that made things bad, but that's why we need a Redeemer. And Jesus is the Redeemer to recreate us after His own image. But we are called in everyday work to love our neighbor as ourselves. God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. Our neighbor does. And so I want to encourage you to think of your everyday work as an opportunity. Every day there's an opportunity to love your neighbor as yourself. As you study, you're learning to love your neighbor as yourself. As you learn something, you know, someday you'll be able to teach somebody what you've learned. And when you teach someone something, you're loving them because you're helping them learn. And everybody needs to learn. If you don't believe me, keep living. Because if you keep living, you know that you have to learn things every day to keep going. And it's a blessing to be able to teach others. Now, what kind of work is God calling you to do, or has called you to do? Are you a builder? Are you a builder? Lest the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches the city, those who watch the city watch in vain. Do you know how many jobs there are regarding watching? Security guards, police, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. There are so many different. Teachers are watchers. They have to watch over. Parents have to watch over children. There are so many different vocations regarding watching or guarding. Or are you a designer? Are you an engineer? Are you a producer? Or a buyer? Or a grower? Or a seller? Or a driver, a counselor, a teacher, a consultant. all of these different jobs are ways you can love your neighbor as yourself, as ways that you can bless other people, do something productive that helps other people, and give glory to God. Because when you do something well, it gives God glory. Martin Luther said, a dairymaid who milks cows can milk cows to the glory of God. And if your job is even shoveling manure, then do your best to shovel that manure for the glory of God. That's Martin Luther. Now, anybody ever shovel manure? I've done it. Rod's done it. Several of you have done it. Yeah. Pig manure. And chicken manure. That's the worst because that stuff stinks. But, you know, you do it to the glory of God. And, you know, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and no doubt he was washing manure off of their feet. Jesus, the Lord of glory, washed the feet of the dirty feet of his disciples. Awesome. And that's because God is a worker. He calls us to work, and he calls us to work to the glory of God so that we will love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I want to encourage you, as you ask those questions, who am I in Christ? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, it says in verse 8, for you were once darkness. That's who we were in Adam. We were once darkness, but now, you know, formerly darkness, that was then. But now, you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. Walk in a way that's worthy of, that's equal to your calling. God has called us in love. And so we're to walk in love in a way that's pleasing to him. Walk according to that effectual call of new birth. Walk according to that glorious call, because we're united with Christ and we're going to walk in his glory, and then also walk in a way that's productive, that blesses others, and gives them a blessing rather than takes away. Amen? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your call. Thank you that you have called us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Walk in a way that gives you glory. Walk in a way that is productive. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would enable us to do this. That you would enable us on a day-to-day basis be a blessing to those who are around us. And so we do thank you. Thank you for the example of Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to give our lives for you and for one another, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would do all that we do for your glory and for your honor, for your name's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.